church people, I'm always refreshed. And we refresh together. Some wonderful things happening in the life of the church. I want to say to you, as part of Highway, that the next 3 months, I think, could be the most significant in the life of this church. In terms of what God is preparing and prophetically stirring up, we feel we are moving. I believe in the next 3 years, there have been so many prophetic words and aligning of season and aligning of expectation that I don't think the next 3 months should be missed in terms of knowing what God has for us. And it includes a variety of things. I've just been up the North Coast with a few pastors, and we met with pastors up there preparing for Robin Glenda's visit in October. And the excitement amongst the pastors, not only for this wonderful gospel of the new covenant, but with the tools that we're able to provide and help them with in producing sustainable communities of transformed culture through equipping with the gospel, but also with many work models and strategies for empowering communities to not rely on outside finance, but to be able to produce from them their own businesses with the right mentoring, the right accountability structures, the right assistance, the right focus. And we're heading to October, where there's going to be a building conference taking place. We've got some international speakers, guys who've a business. Thank you, James. A business conference that's coming up in October, where we've got a number of overseas guys coming in to teach and to share stories and testimonies. Guys have invested millions into over the years to see communities, especially in rural communities, become self-sustainable and transformed from the inside out through the church. But not just to become a business model, but to become a dynamic, powerful gospel of glory community spreading the good news. And that's really one of several exciting things about to unfold and be unpacked in the next couple of months. So I want to ask you for your prayers. I want to ask you for just standing firm over this time, even as we move towards the conference and the business conference. And also Bill had an exciting few days as well. Don't you want to come and say something about that?
Hi, good morning. You know, it's nothing like coming back home after you've done the trip. But when we come back home now, the dog wants to bite me. He doesn't know me anymore. No, it's not that bad. I've just come back from Port Elizabeth, where they did a citywide crusade with all the churches involved in teaching people in one-to-one evangelism. Now, the reason we went there is a couple of weeks ago, I was asking the Lord for a strategy for Livingston. As you know, a door of opportunity is opened in Livingston, and I've made contact with everybody there. So we had this. I prayed the one day. The very next day, I had a letter from Africa Enterprise, and there, old Michael Cassidy said, you know, his third paragraph was about David Livingston putting his foot first in the Bay of Algoa Bay before he went into Africa and opened up Africa to the rest of the world. And I had an amazing prophetic word 15 years ago, where somebody said that I would walk in the footsteps of David Livingston, and I would have faith to go into Africa. Now, I don't have it, but the Lord in me is strengthening me to walk in those steps. And when I saw that, I said to Anne, we don't need it written on the wall. Here it is. Let's go. Let's go and see the strategy. Let's go and see and experience what God is doing. And we saw the churches come together in the most dynamic way. The Presbyterian Church in PE is a huge place, and it was packed out with pastors, the traditional pastors, Pentecostals, no costals, and charismatics and nomatics. You had everybody there. And everybody was buying into it, in the sense, not buying into it, but you hear what I'm saying. They were excited about changing and seeing change in PE. And what Steve said just now is not an idle word. You need to prepare your hearts for action. God is on the move. God is after you. Dad is after you. And Dad wants you to help him in the kingdom. And he's equipped you and he's given you his very presence to be able to go out and to do this. Don't rely on your own strength. He said he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he doesn't do that. He will stand with you. You as a Christian need to stand up and allow the power of God to flow out of you like never before. Lay your hands on the sick. Raise the dead. And do all these things that God has told us to do. God, the time is marching on. I don't know where this is going to end. In October, I don't know if I'm going to be around because we will be doing our own conference in Livingston. And we've got people coming in already, people. And we spent a week with the a bishop, a pastor, and two pastors. Yeah, they with us. And what an amazing time to make contact with people out there. And it's not only me, it's all of us that are able to get out and to do the job. Amen.
And that's part of when gifts are released from here. It's we are cooperating and collaborating together as a community, as a body, as a church. So that's very exciting. And then also, one of the in-house things we're doing is continuing to equip and train people in this wonderful new covenant, the gospel of grace. And one of the best teachers around, other than maybe Joseph Prince Rob Rufus and Andrew Womack is our very own Donna Marburg. Donna's going up to her graduation. Andrew Womack will be in the country later in this year. She's going up for graduation. But Donna's also running the Tuesday night equipping time where they're doing the Andrew Womack course. And do you want to come say something about that, Donna?
Thank you. Hi, church. If I look at myself a few years ago, 18, I was scared coming out of school. I never used to stand up. I was actually a prefect. And I was afraid to stand up in front of people. I don't know how I got through school or how I used to like pay other girls to do a reading because I didn't have the courage. And God has changed my life, and he's put the word inside of me, and he's made me realize who I am in him. And we're running this the course that I've been doing through Caris Bible College. We're actually showing the DVDs on a Tuesday evening from 7 to 9 o'clock. We're doing 2 hours of it. And I really want to encourage you to come and be, just come and hear the word. This will change your life. You know, I was in the car this week with some ladies, and one of the ladies said, I had the Spirit visit me this week, and I turned the light on and it went. And then I turned the light off and it came back again. Then I turned the light off and it went. And then she was going like this. And then she said, next moment we're standing by my bed. And I said to her, well, what did you say to it? She goes, no, I've got the cross. And I suddenly thought, movies, people have this idea, like, you know, your Hail Mary and your cross and something about what's going to work, you know, like just try something. But the truth is, the word in you is what's going to come out of you. And you need to speak the word out of you. That, whatever that spirit was, did not need to be there. And she needed to know her authority in Christ and just tell her to go. Smith Wigglesworth had a visitation like that, and he put the candle on and he looked and he went, oh, it's you again. And he blew the candle out and went back to sleep. We have peace. We are to be afraid of nothing. But I'm telling you now, this carries no authority. Me by myself walking carries no authority. When I put this inside of here, the authority comes out. And there are laws in the kingdom. We are under grace, yes. But do we carry that authority when we walk? Do we carry that authority when something happens? Do we carry that authority when someone says, I've got a headache? You know what? If you can't get over the small little headache, how are you going to chase the cancer when it comes? Because it will come in somebody you know. And you need to get equipped now because there are laws in the Word of God. There are ways the kingdom works. And one of those things is what we're actually covering this week on healing in the kingdom and the laws that govern healing. So if you don't know those laws, I encourage you to get in under those teachings. These guys have spent your years, and it is the word straight at you, uncovered in such a simple way that you think, how could I have missed it? But God wants a church that is a strong army. Not when something happens that we crumble and fall, but but that we're strong walking in this, in what He's put inside of us. So I really want to encourage you, come along on Tuesday evenings from 7 to 9. We've got all the notes and everything prepared, so you get a booklet. All the scriptures are in there, so you don't have to try and take notes, but this will change your life. Thank you.
I think Donna's quite passionate about that. I think all the information is in the bulletin. People want to know. But maybe right now you're facing an area of sickness in your family or you personally. I don't embarrass you, but if you stand up now, we're going to pray for you. People right now, if you struggling in an area physically, can we ask the church just to identify these people who are standing, and maybe those standing, just this will help us, just raise a hand, because I want to make sure someone gets to you. When someone gets to you, you can put your hand down, then we know someone's got to you. So to the rest of the church, would you just reach out to someone standing near you and just go put your hands upon them. And then when they do put your hand down, then we know someone's with you. So as soon as someone lays their hand on you, you can put your hand down. Still a gentleman over here, lady over there. There's a gentleman over there, lady at the back over there. Gary, there's a lady standing behind you. Could you maybe lay hands on her? Okay. Thank you. You can put your hand down once someone's standing with you. Father, we thank you that in this gospel, there is provision made that we can live good, healthy, longevity and fulfill the purpose and calling of God upon our lives. So we come as a people based on what Jesus accomplished on the cross when He was wounded for not only our transgressions and not only was He bruised for iniquity, but by His stripes, we were healed. So we declare over every person standing here now, the healing power of the name of Jesus upon you. We take authority over every spirit of infirmity, and we say, you have no right. This is kingdom territory. You are imposing. You're a squatter. You're illegal. We take authority over you in Jesus' name. We rebuke that spirit of infirmity. Right now, will you just pray for them, just where you're standing? Just release. The life that's inside of you, the life that's inside of them. We just thank you right now for supernatural invasion against sickness, anxiety, stress, fear. We say, this far and no further. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We need to do this when we have an opportunity to keep trusting. Thanks, Donna. Thanks for sharing that. Let's get the word of faith into our lives and keep on pressing in. I've got 2 minutes before I get James up here for the last of the teachings around what we believe the new covenant says about the topic of finances. It's a very important topic. It's a big topic. And we need to be clear as a grace-loving people, as a new covenant people. Something else we've got a privilege to do as a grace-loving community and a kingdom-minded, kingdom world vision is we get to sow and send people from time to time around the nation and even to the nations. And it's always a little bit sad, but it's also a little bit part in our partnership. Is Lindsay and Michelle Horoff. Don't you guys want to just stand up? Maybe come stand here. Michelle has been a great asset and blessing to the children, the worship, and Lindsay is an amazing man of God. And they're going to go down to Cape Town and be a blessing there. Amen? So we love them, we'll miss them, but just reach out your hands as we just send them. We don't just see them going and disappearing and one day saying, where's Lindsay and Michelle, like happens to people in churches quite commonly. But this is a couple that have come to us, spoken to us about it, and are being released with favor, blessing, and increase from this local church. And Michelle will be around for a little bit. But this is the last Sunday as he has a family. So Lord, we do. We thank you for them. We speak your favor on all the plans you've called them to. Increase in Jesus' name. Bless them, their children, their loved ones, all the plans involved in this move. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so as you know, one of the life groups is on duty every Sunday. So which life group is it today? Hey, you guys, don't you want to come up here? Because you've got to take our money now. As you know, some of the life groups are on a roster basis to serve in the church on Sundays. Comes around every two terms or so. But let's give it up for this wonderful life group. Come on. If I was in this church, I would want to be part of this life group. So let's take up our offering. Okay, Father, thank you for our financial contribution to the expenses of this local church, that the gospel can be preached and we can do what we're doing here in this generation and in the next generation. Thank you, Father, for every partnership of prayer, financial stewardship, and leadership in this church. We thank you now and we ask for your divine increase upon the finances and wise stewardship of these finances. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. As they do that, James, won't you come up?
Morning, church. How are you guys? Good. Just a heads up to Ryan in case he's wondering, we're not doing the video. Right, so that was a lot to get through, and now I've got a lot to get through. So, as a public speaker and a preacher, I always wonder, should I like break it, or, you know, should we just dive right in? I think we'll just go with the dive right in part, okay? So, let's start with our thermometer and see where we are with our bond-busting project. It's an incredible project. And we're at 167,000, church. This week, we had, I'm just working it out, 67 last week. We were at 113, so 54. Thank you for your maths. 54, we had 54,000 Rand come in this week. How awesome is that? Come on. Come on. So the thermometer is rising, and I just want to say thank you so much to you, church, for partnering already, getting on board, and things are happening. We're going to bust this bond, and we're going to make it happen by the grace of God, eh? I'd like to ask my bond-busting team to come up, but I've just realized, as I said, that not all of them are here, but let's do it anyway. Won't you guys come up? So it's Graham, Lucy, Steve Pilbro, and Trish Bartholomew, and Candace Biggs as well, but Candace isn't here. So I just wanted to put a face to my team and let you know who the guys are that are helping me. These are the guys that are helping me facilitate all of our admin, all of our questionnaires, all of the questions that we've had, all of the ideas, the fundraising ideas, even the discussions around theology we've had. So this is my team. We're meeting about once every 2 weeks at the moment. You guys are awesome. Just want to say thank you, guys. I'm scared to offer Graham the microphone because it might take too long. But do you guys want to say anything for 30 seconds, a quick word? Steve does. Do you have the microphone, Steve? Right, 30 seconds there, guys.
When I was asked to join this team, the Lord gave me a very strong word, and it is for us all that this is not a normal process of raising money to bust the bond. This is an opportunity for God to show His grace in you. And it is all about grace. If you're approaching this this process in your own strength, you're going to be missing out on something. Because the anointing is upon us right now, as we've heard from Steve already in many other areas, to prove God His faithfulness through you in this area which hasn't really been explored much, and that is in the area of finances. All of us at some time have a stress in our lives for finances, and we're going to learn in this process to February next year how to trust God for finances, not only for ourselves, but for our church and our community and those that we love. So let's seize this opportunity with both hands and trust God to see that thing busted right through the roof.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
When Steve asked me to, James asked me to come on board, I really thought, what can I contribute? But my heart is so for our community, especially where this church is situated. And I love this church and this church family with all my heart. I've been a part of it for 21 years. And I just thought, this is a way for me to give back and to really get rid of the debt that's hanging over our heads as a community, as a family, so that we can then sow into the community and just do so much for the people that so desperately need it.
Amen. Graham?
Hello, Steve. I feel one of the most important parts of new covenant giving is giving according to the need, from Corinthians. And we know the need, so let's give.
Awesome. Thanks, Graham. You can give it to Steve. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. And you know what? I am just going to say this. You know, some people might not say this, but I am. Because we are a multicultural church, and a lot of people may say, wow, that's a white team for a multicultural church. I'm really just putting it out there, okay? And just to say, look, I'm very aware of that. And as the leaders and elders in this church, we are very aware that we're a multicultural church with a predominantly white leadership. But here's the thing. We hear God for who is on our teams, and we don't tokenly make decisions. I just want you to know that. All right? So we're not going to say, well, let's put a person of color on teams and this and that just because we need to. But the kingdom doesn't work like that, unfortunately. All right? And I am looking forward to more and more of the multicultures coming through our church leadership and being involved in the leadership of this church. But I just wanted to let you know that I'm aware of it, and I apologize, but I'm also letting you know that I prayed about my team and who was on that team, and this is the team that God gave me. Okay, amen. Just wanted to say that. So let's go for it. Let's recap where we are so far. So firstly, heaven's economics are different to the world's economic system. Secondly, God is a good father who won't let us starve. Thirdly, God wants us to thrive, and He created us as talented people with supernatural ability accessed by faith. Fourthly, faith is stirred by hearing good news. Fifthly, God doesn't curse us. Sixthly, our financial blessings are accessed by acts of faith. Seventh, these acts of faith are based on believing, points 2 and 3. So you can't have faith unless you believe, right? And you can't believe unless you hear. Go and read Romans 10. Ninth, partnering with our local church is not only logical, but it is also kingdom-minded. And God and the church don't force you to do anything. Okay, so I want you to understand all of those. That's a recap over the last 3 weeks. We have recorded them. They are on the website. We are going to have these videos available either in the bookshop or in your life group. All right, but that's a recap of everything that we've learned so far. So if you've missed it, you've got to understand that heaven's economics are completely different to how the world works. Fundamental is that God is good and He won't let you starve, all right? God wants you to thrive. That's the gospel. God has created you with talents, and not only talents, because how many of you know the world has talents and they do very well based on those talents? Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, Brad Pitt, you choose a person, Beyonce, all these people with amazing talents, and many of them aren't Christian, and they have talents and they thrive. God's given you talents, but not only has he given you talents, he's also given you on top of that a supernatural ability to step into those talents and use the doors that God would give you. But you need to access that by faith. But now the thing is, you don't access that by faith by going, oh, I need more faith, I need more faith, I'm having faith. No, you get faith by hearing good news. So I really want to encourage you, homework for you this week is go and read Romans 10. Okay, Paul says, how will they believe unless they hear? And how will they hear unless the good news is preached to them? So you need to keep hearing good news to have faith stirred. If you don't have faith for finances, go get some good news. And I keep saying it. We have the most amazing bookshop. Before I started this series, I went to Steve and I said, Steve, give me Andrew Womack's series on kingdom finances. And I went every day to and from work listening to this series, soaking in it for a month, just hearing the good news of the gospel. We know last week I covered that God does not curse you. I've just spoken on point number 6. These acts of faith are based on believing it. So when you believe, you step out in faith. So Peter believed the words of Jesus, so he stepped out of the boat and he started walking. It's when you believe that you go and do it. God wants us blessed so that we can be a blessing. The church needs its bond paid off so that it can be even more of a blessing. And God wants you so blessed so that you can be a blessing to people around you. And I just look around here and I see so many people in positions where God wants to bless you so that you can be even more of a blessing to those around you. Partnering with our local church isn't only logical, but it's kingdom-minded. And then God and the church are not forcing you to do anything. So we're not forcing you. If you don't want to give, don't give. But my prayer is that we are going to see an increase in giving with this series that we've done. Okay. So our stance on giving, I'm going to read through it just quickly, but you can. I'm not going to preach it, okay? So I'm just going to read it. Here's our stance on giving. It'll come up on the screen, and you can find it on the website. It's going to be on the website. If you want it, I've got it here, print it out. You can take it from me. But let's go through it quickly. Christians should be generous people because God is a generous God. God gave according to the world's need, and we should give, as Graham said, according to our church family's need. It is in our nature as children of God to be generous. We should be led by the Holy Spirit in how much to give, but that amount could be 5%, it could be 90%, whatever Holy Spirit leads us into. We believe there should be an active partnership in our local church to whom we are committed, and generous mindsets always create faithful, responsible, and wealthy mindsets. That would be the principle of sowing and reaping. Not giving will not bring a curse on us, because Jesus bore all curses upon himself on our behalf. But if we aren't giving, we need to ask ourselves, why not? How much faith do we really have in our loving Father? And are we walking in the Spirit? Okay, so the next 17 minutes, we're going to jump into a couple of questions. You guys ready? Was that a good enough intro for you? I hope so. Here we go. Number one, who owns the church? Well, Jesus does. That's right. I didn't think of that. But the practical answer is no one. The practical answer is, in the eyes of the Lord, no one actually owns the church. There's no one person. There is no, you can't point it out to those people own the church. Here's why. Because if the church ever had to close down, the people that own the church can't take it. They can't take its assets because it is an NGO. By its nature, there's no profit involved. So we didn't acquire such an amazing building and such an amazing plot of land worth a lot of money in order to close it down and split it amongst the congregation or split it amongst the elders or whatever. It doesn't work like that. The elders are custodians, and in the event of the church closing down, the assets would be donated to a like-minded organization. So that's how it works. So the elders are simply custodians of this asset. Right, and we are stewarding it to see it work as effectively as possible. And as long as there are elders in place, this church will continue forever. And that's what the church is all about. It's about raising up new leaders. It's about raising up people who can steward this local house, the message that this local house carries, and its assets in order to be effective. Amen? So that is the simple answer. And it's really quite simple. Number two, why do you believe in an active partnership in the local church? Well, firstly, it is seen in New Covenant scriptural churches, such as Acts 2 and Acts chapter 4. We covered that last week. Most of Paul's apostolic writings talk about partnering with those local churches. And then I covered it last week as well in 1 Timothy, where Paul actually writes to Timothy and says the elders are worthy of double honor. And the context is a financial contribution. So there is a partnership with those who preach to you, with those who serve to you. There is a partnership in giving to those who are ministering to the people of God. And then, the second one on that is that it's only fair and logical to partner with a local charity that provides for many of my faith needs. So if you were part of any other charity, they would ask you to partner with them. I mean, how many of you have had phone calls from the Animal Cruelty League, right? And they want you to partner with them, 200 rand a month, 100 rand a month, or whatever. And it's only logical that these charities ask for regular partnership. And we all come here every single week. We come to Life Group. We come to, we use the building. There's events. There's all these kind of things. And it's only logical to partner with it. So even if you take out the scripture, it's like, hello, duh. So sorry, if you asked that question, forgive me. Okay, sorry. Question number three, do you believe in tithing? Thanks, Graham. Well, the first answer to that is, it depends on the context of the application. You see, it really does depend on the context. If someone feels the Holy Spirit tell them, I need to give 10% of my monthly income to the local church, then that is the Holy Spirit telling them to give a tithe. Because a tithe literally means 10%. That's all it means. It's as simple as that. But here's the thing. A tithe is not mandated or prescribed for the New Covenant believer. We've covered that. I hope you've seen that. It is not prescribed anywhere in New Covenant that you have to give a tithe. The Moses tithe especially is not applicable. If it were, you would have to specifically divide exactly this much must go there, this much must go there, this much, this much, this much. All right? We are not under the Mosaic law, and as I said last week, then why is it in the Old Testament? It's in the Old Testament to point to Jesus. And my favorite thing about the tithe is that the tithe was always the high priest and the owner of the flocks would take the best and take 10% of the best flocks and say, that is my best lamb and that lamb there, okay, I've got 100 sheep, so these 10 lambs are my best lambs and I give them to the high priest. Here's the thing, Jesus was God's best. That's the thing. So these stories are in Scripture to point to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It is not, the Mosaic law is not a law for the Gentiles now to follow to try and be good people. The Mosaic law is there to point to what Jesus did for the world. The next point is that many believers continue to be spirit-led to give a tithe. There are many believers who continue. Why? Because they read the scriptures, they go, wow, Abraham gave a tithe, Jacob gave a tithe. You know what? Lord, this is what I'm feeling. And the Lord says, you know what? Give a tithe. So there are many believers who continue to tithe, and that's between them and God. But here's the thing. All giving should be led of the Holy Spirit. And that's the key. I want you, and we're even going to make time for God to speak to us this morning. I want you to hear God. It's as simple as that. And God might say to you, give 5%. And there may be a reason for that. I remember Rob Rufus telling a story. There was a time when the offering basket came around. God told him not to give. And he said, but God, I want to. And God spoke to him and said, I'm teaching you to obey me. I know you want to be generous, son, but I'm just teaching you to obey me. And I just want to show you that you giving does not make me any more happy with you. God just wanted to show him where he was at and how much he loved him. So God may tell you, but you know what? We have a need, and I know God is going to speak to every single one of you according to the need. That's how God works. God is good. So we as an eldership and as a leadership and as the bond-busting team, we are confident in God's ability to speak to you. Okay, so number four, if you believe tithing is not prescribed, why is it used in your vocabulary so much? Amen. Well, to be honest with you, it's a cultural hang-up. It is. And it's not easily broken. Everyone, non-Christians alike, knows when you say tithe, it's the monthly giving that you give to your church. And so breaking it for the sake of breaking it could cause more damage than good. And it would require a stance against it. Right? So if we wanted to break this vocabulary of tithing, we in this building right now probably have an estimate 250 people. The church has about 350 people to 400 people that come through over a cycle of about 5 or 6 Sundays, right? So, and then you all have families and all that. And just in this series, we are not going to knock the word tithing out of our vocab, right? In order to knock the word tithing out of our vocab, we would have to do a whole stance and we would have to give, you know why we'd have to give this whole proof? Because then you'd get out of the 400 families that have a network around them, people going, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. And then you've got to go, oh, but you know what, there's a scripture that says, yeah, you see, you need to understand. And then it would be so much effort and you'd have to make such a stance just to try and break a cultural hang-up. It's like, I would rather put my energy, and this is the next point here, I would rather give my energy to being pro something than being against something. We, you know, it would take so much energy to try and break that vocab. It's just not worth it. So, we try and avoid the word where possible, but it's not a catastrophe. Okay, so there you go. It's official. Tithing isn't prescribed, but if you use the word, God's not going to strike you down. Okay, all right. And don't get upset with us. If you hear us use the word tithe, forgive us. Okay, it's a cultural hang-up. Paul never used the word, and thank you, Paul, for being so good in thinking about how you wrote those letters. But the difference between Paul and me is that Paul was writing, I am preaching. And when you're preaching, it's so different. Because you're writing, you go, oh, no, wait, maybe I shouldn't use that word. I should use another one. When you're preaching, you're just like, boom, and you're talking. So it's different. Okay. Number 5. Here's an interesting one. This is the last question. But number 5 is an interesting one. Number 5. Why do you want me to give over and above my regular monthly giving? So let's have a look at that. Firstly, HCC, like any organization, has a budget to work with, right? So every month we've got a budget. We need to pay our bills. And unlike any other NGO who canvass for donations over the financial year end, we trust for monthly partnership from our people. So let's take the SPCA, for instance. They have a team devoted to raising money for their organization. And come the financial year end, guess what they do? They go, they phone up Nedbank, and they phone up Old Mutual, and they phone up Vodacom, and they say, look, we are the SPCA, we do so much for the world, and there's the stray dog, and you know, you should just give us, you know, 100,000 rand left over in your budget for the SPCA. And the Nedbank guy goes, okay, you know, and then they get this whole whackload, financial year end, they get this whole whackload of money that they get deposited, they've now got a budget to work with over the next 12 months, right? And they go, wow, we've got 5 million rand, and we spread it out over 12 months, easy. The church doesn't work like that. We do not have the privilege of going to, hey, Nedbank, we're a church. Would you mind donating 1 million rand to our cause? Well, you see, you're a religious cause and we can't do that, right? So it's so different. We can't just be like, go out and try and raise this huge budget every year. So we trust for our people to partner with us on a monthly basis. So that's the next thing. We need to keep to budget every month. And thus, the bond buster is separate to our monthly giving from the people. Does that make sense? But now here's the great thing. The great thing is that busting the bond by February 2016 will free up monthly budget cash flow to be even more effective. So come February 2016, we are really trusting to have this bond busted, and then we are going to have an extra 30,000 rand a month in our budget to be even more effective. So we're really excited to bust this bond. And that's why we believe we are asking you in faith to say, hey, you know what? You are giving and we just want to say thank you. From the eldership, we want to say thank you for what you give every single month. over the years, over the last 10 years, I mean, Trish said she's been here for 21 years. For the last 21 years, people like Trish have been giving faithfully every month. And we thank you for that. And we do ask you to continue that. So you've got your budget. You give 1,000 rand a month to the church. We are asking you to find another 500, 1,000, whatever, a month to give to the bond. Amen? Okay, three of you? That's great. Amen, brother. Okay, so now what I'd like to do is, in conclusion, I'd like us to give some time right now to hear God, how we can partner with HCC's mission, right? So you should have received this paper. Did you guys receive it? Raise your hand if you don't have it. Wow. What happened, life group? Stu, I asked you guys then. I'm sorry. I'm just picking on you. Forgive me. If I could ask just a couple of people. Let's just try and get these out, if you don't mind. They were at the front. Sorry for picking on you there, Stu. I was just, you know, forgive me, brother. I feel bad now. Oh, Steve says I must pick on you. So what I'd like to do now is, I'd like us all to pray and give time. Let's ask God, what does God want to give to the local church? Right? What does God want me to give to the local church? Now, I worked it out to 200 families, right? So if we need if we need 1.6 million rand, right? Estimate, yeah, 1.6, it's 1.65 or whatever. Oh, but at the moment it's 1.5, yes. Graham's a detailed person, financial advisor, he knows, right? So, but let's just pretend it's 1.6, okay? For the sake of my example. So we need 1.6 million rand, right? If there are 200 families in the church who are able to give, and they each family, and this isn't each person, this is each family gave 8,000 rand in total, and they divided that over 6 months, that would mean each family giving 1,350 rand per month, we'd be able to knock it off. That sounds very doable. Now, at the same time, there's a lot of families going, I can't afford 1,350 rand a month. And then there's other families going, you know what, I can trust God for 3,000 rand a month. So it obviously will balance itself out. And like I said, I have full confidence in my God. Paul was able to say that. I have full confidence in my God. He will speak to you. And I really do. I have confidence in my Father who will speak to you. He will speak to you. And if you feel to give 100 rand a month, that's okay, because that 100 rand a month has been spoken to you by God and it's going to contribute to meeting the bond. So we're just going to take some time right now. Did everyone get it? Anyone still waiting? Great. So you all got it? Except, there we go. Debbie's coming to you, Graham. He'll check your finances while you're there. Offer you a life insurance policy. Check if you understand the new covenant. Okay, I'm kidding, Graham. Okay, so if you have a look at it at the bottom, there's two sections to this. So if you still have any fundraising suggestions, you're welcome to write those down. And bring this next week. You don't have to do it right now. It's not a pressure, but we want to give you time because I know what's going to happen. If I say go home and wait on God, you'll come to Sunday morning. I'll be like, okay, so who waited on God? Oh, darn, I forgot. So I just want to do it right now. Okay, and you don't have to give this back now. Next week, we're going to ask you to bring it and hand it into the offering bags, okay? So please bring it anonymously. We don't want you to write your name. We just want all the pieces of paper that we can look at and add it all up and see, hey, this is what we can trust God for, all right? So you see that it says, as a family individual, so you just write, this is a family individual thing, we are pledged to give 1,000 rand per month for a total of 6 months, so give a total of 6,000 rand, okay? So that's all we want you to do. So why don't you just, right now, just close your eyes and just ask God. Father, we do. We thank you that you're a good Father. We thank you, Father, that even in my own life, you are going to provide miraculously over and above what my monthly budget is at the moment in order to give to this bond, Father. I thank you for job opportunities for even me personally and for every person here. Lord, new sales to come in to beat this bond. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you in this moment, in an atmosphere of faith, Holy Spirit, speak. just place these figures on our hearts. Amen. Let's just wait on God. Holy Spirit, for speaking. Thank you that you do speak to us, Lord. Thank you that there are miracles in this place. Lord, we thank you that every single faith step over the coming weeks and months are going to produce fruit that we can't even imagine. I thank you, Lord, for testimony after testimony after testimony of how good you are in providing for your children. Thank you, Lord, that this church is a lighthouse to the community. Lord, we are going to be a lighthouse. I just feel we are going to be a lighthouse to businesses, to business people, to sales people, to entrepreneurs everywhere. As a testimony to how you make your children thrive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So once you do that, if you want to write it down right now, that'll be great. Put it in your Bible. Bring it back next Sunday. So when we ask for it, don't forget it now. I've given you a chance to hear God, right? If you want to go home and spend more time praying about it, chatting about it as a family, that's fine. But please bring this next week. We will have more. But don't forget what the Lord spoke to you about now. You'll see there was, on the last slide, there was a note. It said the bond is a participation bond. And just to clarify that, a couple of people asked, if you've been paying 32,000 rand a month for the last 7 years, why have you only paid interest? Well, that's because it's a participation bond, and we only paid interest in the beginning few years. So it was amounts of 5,000, 11,000, and then this year we started hitting the capital, and it jumped from 20,000 up to 32,000. So the video said we're paying 32,000 rand a month, but we only started paying that in July this year. Right. So it's a participation bond, and we haven't been paying 32,000 rand over the last 7 years. So I just wanted to clarify that. And church, thank you for your partnership. Let's do this. I really believe that this is a time for financial miracles. This is, as Steve has said, this is a significant season we're going into. You're going to find out a bit more about our business conference that we're hosting over the Rob Rufus time. Rob Rufus is going to be coming out along with Daniel from Kazakhstan. He's a huge oil tycoon, basically. He's too humble to want to claim that. We've got another guy from America, and amazing financial miracles have been happening in their lives. And we're going to be having a business conference. So I really feel like this is a season of financial breakthrough that we're stepping into as a people. So amen.
Thanks, amen. Steve. Thank you, James. Yeah, let's give him a hand. Well done. Thanks, Bud. You've done a really good job with this. It's given a project on behalf of the church. I thank you for doing it well, doing it clearly, and for your faith for us to do this by next February. So thanks to the guys and everybody else. So, everyone happy?
Let's stand up together. Father, we just, as we leave here today, we've had some things clarified, some things strategized, and some things solidified for us as a people around this issue. And we just say amen over it, going forward, in your wonderful name. As we head towards the conferences planned for October, thank you for a great excitement that will start to grow, and for many testimonies that we're going to hear of your provision, of your healing, of breakthrough in this church. And for those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, this place is going to be a lighthouse to see many people being swept into the kingdom of God for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Amen.